to you, baby. Stumbled you before we start. Don't keep it, mama. Something's on the finger. Ah! Now you know. By your fans are gone. But you gotta talk to me, baby. Tell me who you really are. Something in the water. It's been the same with every girl I've had.
Kebu Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Community Acupuncture and Massage, a benefit for political prisoner Mutulu Shakur, Sunday, February the 7th, noon to 4 p.m. at 7 Star Acupuncture in Portland. Dr. Mutulu Shakur was one of the founders of the Black Acupuncture Advisory Association in North America and the Harlem Institute of Acupuncture. Incarcerated for 30 years, Mutulu and his legal team are seeking community and financial support to fight his imprisonment. A group of licensed acupuncturists and massage therapists are offering treatments to our community as a fundraiser. Again, that's of Community Acupuncture and Massage, a benefit for political prisoner Mutulu Shakur, Sunday, February the 7th, noon to 4 p.m. at 7 Star Acupuncture, 436 Southeast 12th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This is KBOO Portland. It's 10:01 a.m. Stay tuned now for Air Cascadia with your host, Chris Andre, on your community radio, KBOO.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Friday, February 5th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. We have an extraordinary guest today. We're very fortunate to have Taylor Weil, High Country News investigative reporter, who is one of the great writers that produced their cover story for coming out February 8th, The Sagebrush Insurrection. If you think that Malheur is an isolated incident, the West right now is boiling over with similar incidents, just they're barely waiting to happen. The funeral of Finnegan is coming up today. He's being lauded right now as a martyr to the cause. The cause has various names. The membership is enormous and overlapping. And the entire mood in rural areas has shifted. Myself, I live in a rural area. I saw it last night. I drive around doing errands, heading off to the feed store. I see more and more trucks emblazoned with Confederate flags. I see American flags everywhere. I overhear conversations. More and more trucks have been altered so that they spew enormous clouds of exhaust of particulate matter, huge black clouds. It's done purposefully. There are signs and indications all over the place if you pay attention. Of course, on the progressive left activist side of the road, we don't pay perhaps enough attention to what's going on right around us. It would certainly behoove us in this case to pay plenty of attention. This is an armed insurrection, and it is going on even as we speak and right under our feet. It's my pleasure to welcome Tay Wild, High Country News investigative reporter to the KBOO Airways this morning. Good morning, Tay.
Good morning.
We're very, very pleased to have you with us. What a great, great issue of High Country News. I just could not believe it. The charts, the diagrams of the relationships and the convoluted interrelationships that are out there. They're alive. They are not just lines on paper. Lavoie Finicum now his funeral and some of the rhetoric that is generating should alarm people. We should pay close attention to it. You wrote, though, about a mining operation which was a flashpoint for a lot of this very right-wing energy. Can you talk a little bit about it? Apparently, God is in the mineral exploration business now. God apparently wants them to go in there and destroy what's left of spawning streams and habitat. What did you find?
Well, I did when I did some reporting in Southern Oregon in Josephine County earlier this fall, and since then. I found that there was a growing network there of right-wing militia groups, which is reflective of a larger proliferation since around 2008, 2009, after Obama was elected. I think it's also reflective of a political polarization in the country, and is helped along by internet groups. It's really easy to get online and sort of be a part-time participant of some of these groups, like the Oath Keepers, which I reported on in Josephine County. There was a mining dispute that began in earnest or ramped up last spring. Two gold miners were in a dispute with the Bureau of Land Management about who had surface rights to their mining claim. They decided to ask for help from the Oath Keepers, which is a militia group that began in 2009, a national group. So they asked for help from the local chapter, and the local chapter was very willing and ready to help them sort of ramp up this fight with the BLM, the Bureau of Land Management. What I found was interesting about that is that wouldn't have happened 15, 20, 30 years ago. These public land disputes have been happening between land users and the federal government for many, many, many decades. But just now we're seeing this new relationship being forged between right-wing militia groups and the land users. So I think that's one of the most interesting things.
And apparently, in some cases, law enforcement, where the sheriffs, and we see this in Southern Oregon, sheriffs, are supposedly the defenders of the rule of law, that keeps us all somewhat honest, are coming out on the side of these right-wing militia. They are obviously religious zealots.
Well,
are on their side, and they're not doing what they are being paid to do. They are not defending the law. They are defending the lawless.
Well, and of course, there's many shades of what you're talking about. The Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, the CSPOA, which was founded by a former Arizona Sheriff, Richard Mack.
Talk a little bit more about that, because that is truly scary. That's something I don't think listeners are fully aware of. Could you just say the acronym again?
CSPOA.
And this is a movement, sheriffs, law enforcement officers, who are on the side of those who would pull off stunts like that, malheur. This is a very frightening thing. It means that if you go out to a wildlife refuge and you see that it's closed for the season and it's been taken over by some of these people, and you go to the sheriff is going to ignore you or perhaps throw you in jail and protect and defend the people who are occupying the wildlife refuge.
Well,
that would make it real for people to try to understand, because this is really an extraordinary thing, and we're seeing rumblings. There's rumblings all across the West of the sagebrush insurrection that High Country News writes about.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's first off important to note that the Harney County Sheriff Dave Ward, of course, was completely against the occupation, and he is completely against also militia groups like the Oath Keepers, the 3% from Idaho, coming to his county and stirring up unrest in his county. He actually wants them all to leave. So,
oh, yes.
So it's not every sheriff.
No, Ward's a good guy. He's doing his job.
Right. Right. But I mean, the constitutional sheriffs movement, I think, is definitely something to keep an eye on. And it has really very deep roots in the history of the West. And it's based on this idea that the sheriff is the supreme law of the land in that county, even above federal law. So if they disagree with federal laws, then they can enforce it that way and support any members of the public who are breaking those federal laws. So that network is certainly growing, and it's something to keep an eye on, and something that I think that federal regulators haven't quite figured out how to deal with yet.
Just one more thing before. Well, actually, we have basically run out of time. Could you just let our listeners know it's High Country News that you want to take a look at, and it's the Sagebrush Insurrection. Anything else? Any other guidance you want to offer listeners as to where to go to read a lot more? There is a lot more on this.
HCN.org is our website. We have stories going up every day, and then we have a print magazine every 2 weeks. We'd love you to subscribe. We're, you know, reader-supported, nonprofit, independent journalism. And then also, as we know, you know, it's LaFoy Finicum's funeral service today in Kanab, and he was one of the occupiers, and we'll be continuing to cover that and those issues in the future.
As they come up, yeah. Again, thank you so much for being with us. My guest has been Taylor Otay Wild, with investigative reporter with High Country News. It's been a pleasure speaking with you. Thanks. We want to have you back and follow up on this, talk more about the gold mine incident too. Thanks again, Tay. We're going to go speak now with Steve Horn, a wonderful frequent, a guest and a contributor, really, to Air Cascadia, Steve Horn with the Smog Blog. Because recently with the elections and the caucus, I guess we don't call them caucuses, it would be caucus, right? Harney County, we've got news to burn, and it's easy to forget that both chambers of Congress are currently in session. That's like the double barrel, maybe not, threat. The Senate has put this energy bill on the table, first of its kind since 2007. The thing is 237 pages long, and wow! Even our intrepid Senator Wyden is on board with this thing, which is a scary idea. It's the Energy Policy Modernization Act of 2015. It sounds like something out of Idiocracy. What is this? Tell us about the Smog Bloggers writes about heaping subsidies on coal technology and LNG.
Yeah, the bill is basically a massive giveaway to the LNG industry, first and foremost. It's also a giveaway to the up-and-coming methane hydrate industry, which is another form of gas. It's not obtained from fracking. It's obtained from the methane that sits under the ocean, which right now...
It's actually shooting straight out of California at the moment.
It's correct.
It's coming out. Might as well sell it, right?
Correct.
Try to make a buck off it.
Yeah, but the hydrates, it's a sort of a last frontier for the industry. They have deep offshore, they have fracking, they have tar sands. Hydrates, they haven't really figured out how to commercialize. And so what a piece of this bill does, of course, you said it's 237 pages, a lot of other stuff in it, but and it used to be a standalone bill. Basically, it subsidizes research and a pilot project to figure out better how to tap into these hydrates. And so, of course, one interesting note for listeners is that there was an amendment to that amendment, or to that provision, which says it cannot occur in the Atlantic Ocean, or, you know, kind of close to Washington, D.C., and that area. So no pilot test there, but, you know, the Gulf can be a sacrifice zone, the West Coast can be a sacrifice zone for this testing. But not where the bill actually is being proposed in Washington, D.C., which is really interesting. But,
and
yeah, of course, right? And then the other big thing is more subsidies for figuring out how to do quote unquote clean coal. That's in the bill too. So we have all three. We have coal, we have LNG, expediting permitting for that, and we have hydrates. And of course, at the end of the year, in a different bill, as I mentioned in my piece, stuffed into the budget bill, we had the oil export ban being lifted. I think it came on the show and talked about that. And so, of course, this is all taking place in the midst of most people paying attention to the presidential primary races. People forget that, of course, Congress is still in session and doing some pretty important things. We talk about the quote-unquote do-nothing Congress, but Congress is actually doing quite a bit, and quite a bit of it is actually potentially very harmful to the American public, but also the globe as it pertains to climate change.
And there's an army of lobbyists leading the charge. The thing, we're pretty much out of time. I'm going to ask you a bit about the smog blog and how people can get caught up on all of this. But the name, just the very title of this part, it's the LNG Permitting Certainty and Transparency Act. I really like that a lot. But Steve, again, we're out of time. Just bring people up to speed on the smog blog and more of this kind of investigative reporting.
Absolutely. Go to desmogblog.com. You can check out my article. It's on the army of lobbyists who have been lobbying on this bill. And, we didn't get to that in this segment, but basically all of this has been lobbied for a long time in different standalone bills. Now it's all being stuffed into a single bill. So you can get the names of the companies that have been lobbying on it. You can actually look at who some of the lobbyists are by name, et cetera. So go check that out.
It's one of the best things ever. Well, the smog blog is consistently excellent, but this is really knocks it out of the park this time. Thanks for that, Steve. We really appreciate you coming
me.
On the show. This, of course, has been Cascadia for Friday, February 5th, 2016. Sam Parrish engineered the show for us today. Thanks, Sam. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO